From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in Psalm 119. The subject of the psalm is the Word of God, expressed in many different ways. As he expounds the teachings of this psalm, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the theme of living clean in an unclean world. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Job chapter 8, verse 11. Can the rush grow up without mire? The rush is spongy and hollow, and even so is a hypocrite. There is no substance or stability in him. It is shaken to and fro in every wind, just as formalists yield to every influence. For this reason the rush is not broken by the tempest, neither are hypocrites troubled with persecution. I would not willingly be a deceiver or be deceived. Perhaps the text for this day may help me try myself whether I be a hypocrite or no. The rush by nature lives in water, and owes its very existence to the mire and moisture wherein it has taken root. Let the mire become dry, and the rush withers very quickly. Its greenness is absolutely dependent upon circumstances. A present abundance of water makes it flourish, and a drought destroys it at once. Is this my case? Do I only serve God when I am in good company, or when religion is profitable and respectable? Do I love the Lord only when temporal comforts are received from his hands? If so, I am a base hypocrite, and like the withering rush, I shall perish when death deprives me of outward joys. But can I honestly assert that when bodily comforts have been few, and my surroundings have been rather adverse to grace than at all helpful to it, I have still held fast my integrity? Then have I hope that there is genuine vital godliness in me. The rush cannot grow without mire, but the plants of the Lord's right hand planting can and do flourish even in the year of drought. A godly man often grows best when his worldly circumstances decay. He who follows Christ for his bag is a Judas. They who follow for loaves and fishes are children of the devil. But they who attend him out of love to himself are his own beloved ones. Lord, let me find my life in thee, and not in the mire of this world's favor or gain.
To receive at thou art, thou my best
Now that most of the rush of the holiday season has subsided, we hope you've had time to reflect on the true significance of Christmas, God's unspeakable gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To that end, Let the Bible Speak has been offering a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to continue to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 1-866-LTBS. That's 1-866-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. The response to this publication has been most enthusiastic, so we encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while our supply lasts. Because of the demand, we must limit the offer to 2 copies per request. Order yours today. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the 4th in a series of messages on a theme that is vitally important for Christians, especially in the depraved moral climate of our day, living clean in an unclean world. The text for the series is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. In the first message, Dr. Cairns focused on verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The emphasis there showed us that to live clean, our lives must be directed by God's Word. The second message took as its text verse 10, With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Its main theme was the importance of a vital prayer life. The third message focused on verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, which Dr. Cairns dealt with under the title, A Sure Remedy Against Satan's Devices. The text for this 4th message is verse 12, Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Entitled The Sanctifying Power of a Worshipping and Teachable Spirit, this message presents 3 essential elements in living a clean life. The first is having a vision of the Lord's glory, which can only be obtained by spending time alone with God in the Word and prayer. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
This morning I want to speak to you about the sanctifying power of a worshiping and teachable spirit. The sanctifying power of a worshiping and teachable spirit. When we look at verse 12, we'll discover that there are here 3 essential and powerful elements in sanctification. three essential elements in living a clean or holy life. Now let me start at the beginning. Blessed art thou, O Lord. The vision of the Lord's glory is essential to living a holy life. Blessed art thou. In other words, the psalmist was so impressed with the Lord's glory that he felt he must fall before him. He must bend the knee. And in the etymology of the word that is translated blessed here, there is the inherent thought of bending the knee. As the psalmist thought of the glory of God, it so overwhelmed him that he felt that he must bend the knee, fall before the Lord, and confess his glorious greatness. Now let me just stop there for a minute, because immediately we come across something that is altogether too rare in the devotional lives of God's people. As the psalmist entered into the presence of God, he was genuinely meeting with his Maker. He was genuinely in touch with God. This was not just a matter of words. This was not just going through the motions. This was not just satisfying a guilty conscience. This was not just saying, well, this is religion and I've got to do it. No, this was a man getting alone with God, and as he got alone with God, he was overwhelmed as he thought of the greatness and the glory of the God whom he was worshiping. I fear that all too often there is little of that in our prayer lives. There's little of that in our pulpit lives. It is all too easy to have the words. It is all too easy to give trite expressions, our voice. But it's a very different thing to have such a grasp of what the Bible is saying about the glory of God that it absolutely overcomes us and overwhelms us. That's what was happening to the psalmist. The Word of God emphasizes the blessedness of God. Romans 1:25, we read of the Lord's condemnation upon those who exalt the creature over the Creator, who is blessed forever. When Paul was describing the gospel to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:11, he called it the glorious gospel of the blessed God that was committed to his trust. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, he goes on speaking of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is what thrilled the heart of the psalmist. And it should thrill our hearts as well. It must if we're going to know anything of the power of vital godliness. You see, there is something in us, we've got to admit it, comes with being fallen sons of Adam. There's something in us that's inherently proud, arrogant, and selfish. That's true of us all, without exception. We may display it in various or different ways, but it is nonetheless true. You find it throughout Scripture, and you find it throughout your own experience. Now, pride, arrogance, and selfishness are wicked things in any situation, but especially when you come before God. We blame the Pharisee in the Savior's parable. You remember the Pharisee, and he stood thus before God and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee. I am not as other men are. I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. In other words, Lord, I'm pretty well satisfied with me. That's something that comes very natural. Even when we confess our sins, it's very easy to find an excuse for them, to find a way of talking our way around them. But the reality is, that can only flourish where there's not a sufficient vision of the greatness and the glory of God. We come before the Lord by what we need, and my, I trust we will be crying to God for it, is an overwhelming realization of His blessedness. All blessedness is His. You remember the words of Romans chapter 9, verse 5, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and His genealogy according to the flesh and then His deity. The apostle is referring first to his human genealogy through the Jewish nation. He speaks of the Jews, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. And then he adds, who is over all, God blessed forever. All blessedness is in our God. He is possessed of all perfections. He is the source of all the true happiness in His creatures. He is therefore worthy of all praise, worship, and thanksgiving, because all glory belongs unto Him. Now it is the recognition of this that is absolutely essential to holy living. This is what made the psalmist bend the knee. This is what brought his heart to humility. This is what put an end to whatever else would be going on in his heart. Now, we come to God's house today. We live day by day with a million things pressing in upon our hearts. You may be here this morning saddened by what's happening in life. You may be here this morning angry at what's happening in life. You may be here this morning bitter as gall at what's happening in life. What is all that telling you? It's telling you that you are so wrapped up in you, your feeling, your circumstance, your preference, your life, your this, that, or the other thing, that God and the vision of God is effectively shut out of your thinking. The psalmist felt all those things, I have no doubt. For he was just a man. There's no temptation that takes you or me, but such as is common to man. That means he could feel all that we feel. The only way to humble his proud heart, the only way to bring his selfish nature to its knees, the only way to make him bow before God in true humility and true holiness was a vision of the glory of God. Oh, we pay lip service to the greatness of God. We perhaps know texts of Scripture that say that He is great and greatly to be praised. We sing the hymn, How Great Thou Art. Wonderful hymn, by the way. Magnificent hymn. But I wonder how much the greatness of God really overwhelms us. Now, I don't want to spend all day in this, but I do want to be very simple and very practical here. Saying God is great will not overwhelm your heart. Reading a text of Scripture is not going to overwhelm your heart. This confession comes out of time spent with God. Now here we really get to the place where the problem arises. We live in a fast food age, a fast information age, a fast car age, a fast airplane age. Everything's fast. Everything's fast and getting faster, it seems. And therefore, spirituality should be, there should be a spiritual McDonald's. That's how people look at church. You just roll up to the drive-thru. In fact, we have even got drive-thru churches now. We haven't got it here yet. But I have no doubt, mentally, that's what it is. You just ride up to the drive-thru, and here Sunday morning, I just want to get a bit of fast food. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. When God says, my son, give me thy heart, he includes, give me thy time. If we're ever going to have anything of a vision of the glory of God, such as will overwhelm us and humble us and make us to bow the knee and will crowd out those emotions that are so destructive of our peace and our purity, we must take time alone with God. Every time you open a chapter of the Bible, the very first thing that must engage your attention, what does it teach me about my God? What does this portion say about my God? Forget about this modern craze of looking for some little devotional thought that's going to titillate you for a moment. Forget about most of these crazy little thoughts for the day and start getting down to the solid meat of God's Word. What does this book have to say to me about God? Now let me think about it. Let me ponder it. Where are the Christians who are taking the time to do this? They're few and far between. No, again, it's the spiritual McDonald's syndrome. We have got a little book of daily readings. It may run to 150 words if it's very long. And there'll be most of that taken up with a little sob story about something or other, somewhere or other, and a Bible verse thrown in. And then you'll have some pithy little saying, oh, it's so smart. I don't want to be over harsh in the people that write them, but I want to tell you most of it's not worth the paper it's written on. As far as doing your soul any good, as far as real growth and grace. Now somebody will tell me, oh, you don't know I was in a particular problem one day and I got this little thought that helped me. Well, God bless you. I know people that went to Hollywood cinema to watch a film and got saved there. It doesn't say the Hollywood film was the best thing to do. God can overrule what he wants. What I'm saying to you is, if you want to be overwhelmed by the greatness of God, then you are certainly going to have to spend time with him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.